What up, though? This is your boy CB. That is Chill B. And this is the Chill Bravado Podcast. And I bring you a series called Laker 82-16. And that's where we cover the grind of an 82 game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. And we are recording March 22nd. As of right now, the Lakers are sitting outside of the play-in at 11. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of concerns. I'm going to break it all down. We're going to ask the question, why can't AD dominate consistently? We'll talk about the LBJ return, as well as today is not going to be a lot of X and O's. It's going to be more of, let's get real. Let's get serious. I'm going to talk about Anthony Davis in depth. I'm going to talk about the team, and we're going to talk about the next five games and what we need to accomplish. So if you want to hear all that and my take on this team and why I was saying play in was the more realistic goal and that six was very far off, some of the things that happened so far have kind of proven me right, and I hate that. But right back, we'll get right into it. All right, all right. I hope everybody doing well. If you're a Laker fan, you've done better. You've had better days. But we are what we are. We are where we are. And let's get to talking why. Why is this the case? For most of the Laker nation, you're very upset and frustrated with Anthony Davis. I get that. For another section, you're more frustrated with Darvin Ham. I understand that as well. Then you have those, you know, who are still saying that LeBron needs to hurry up and come back, or when LeBron comes back, you know, so I get those two. Let's put all that together. We're not going to play blame pie right now because it's not over. Season's not over. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. But as of right now, like I said, we're sitting in the 11th spot. We have a lot going on right now, and it's very important that we get some things worked out. But first, let's talk about AD. The question on, you know, main media and a lot of, you know, the narrative right now around the Lakers is, why can't AD take over the game? Why isn't AD just showing up and showing out, as my Baptist church people say? What is going on with AD? Why is he so soft? Why is he not aggressive enough? Why isn't he locked in? These are the questions we get. Okay. And let's look at that and let's figure out maybe why it's not happening. All right. And then before I get to that, another question is, why can't he be more like Giannis? Why can't he control the game like Embiid? And I'm going to let you know right now, AD is not those guys entirely. Pieces of it, yes. Entirely, no. It's a couple things that AD possesses that Giannis does not possess. But it's also a big thing Giannis possesses that AD could never do. And Embiid is a whole nother size human being who is a mix of force and skill to go along with that. And he shoots the ball better than AD. But if AD was to get his mid-range jumper turned around, you can see what he can do similar to Embiid. But Giannis, who is like a gazelle, has the ability to take the basketball out of the hoop or get the rebound and push it full court with pace, with force, with bad intentions for the defense. Something AD cannot do. AD is not a guy who's going to grab it and go down the court and then step in, Euro step it, dunk it on somebody. That's not his game. He doesn't have the foot speed. He doesn't have the ability to invite the contact and stay balanced and continue to do what Giannis does. AD is easily knocked off balance. I just look at the way AD's built. He's long. He's bigger than people think he is. He's not fast, but he's very quick when he has the ball in rhythm and he has the defense off balance. Giannis doesn't care if you're off balance or not. Embiid is big. He's strong. He's crafty. Teams know he's going to try to get fouls, so you have to be mindful of what you do with him. He's strong. He He finishes around the rim. He's a different size human being. Now, AD, who definitely deserves to be looked at in those skill sets, with the skill set he has on the level with those guys, he's just going to have to do it a different way. He's not going to be as forceful as Embiid. He's not going to be a downhill force as Giannis. But I think the question is valid for Laker fans and those who follow the team and just NBA in general and wondering, why can't AD dominate? Well, then we go look at the Darvin Ham question. And I look at that and I ask, well, let me watch the games over. I'm replaying. I'm looking. What are we doing to feature AD? What are we doing? Are we calling him to get the ball at the top of the elbow? Or is he getting pushed all the way out to the three-point line or the mid-post and just baseline and forcing him to have to make a play? Is the pick and roll with D'Lo only working and benefiting for D'Lo now? Like, D'Lo's getting, you know, lanes to the rim, able to lay it up softly or get the mid-range jumper. But what are we doing for AD? The lob threats are non-existent now. And even when we do get a chance to, Dennis Schroeder is just throwing it up and it's going out of bounds or, you know. And then AD's been having a problem with fumbling the ball right now. He's not really grabbing it. So that goes to that whole he's not locked in focus thing. Well, his handles have been kind of loose lately. And his ability to catch the ball, grab it, and go up with it had been kind of, you know, subpar. Not fun to watch. So I'm not discrediting none of the fans for feeling the way they are, but let's break down and look at why, okay? So now I'm noticing that we're running way too many plays from Malik Beasley, who is not making the three-point shots. I was laughing at my homeboy, JR. Bro was talking about Troy Brown needs to make. He went like 0 for 7 in a game. He's like, man, he has to make wide-open threes. And I agree with him, but then I look over, and I see Malik Beasley at the end of that game, and he shoots like 1 for 7. And Malik Beasley is the guy. He's the sniper specialist. If Troy Brown makes three-pointers, then that's a bonus. That's something that adds to what we should be getting from Malik Beasley and D'Lo and, you know, Austin Reeves and so on. But Malik Beasley is alarming to me because we got him in the starting lineup, which is fine for me. Some people say take him out, put Austin in. I like Austin coming off the bench. But Malik Beasley, we cannot run all these plays for him and he's going to miss and miss and miss, because when he gets the ball, it's going up. It's no looking for AD. It's no secondary option for him except for him to attack off the dribble and try to hit that floater, which is falling sometime, not enough. D'Lo on the pick and roll with Anthony Davis was working well when who was there? You know, LeBron was there, or when the team was really cooking. But with Vando out there, without LeBron, which I'm going to get into next segment, it changes up the spacing. It changes up what they're forcing. They're forcing you to kick to Vando, and now he has to shoot the corner three, which is not what I want to see consistently. I don't want to see consistent Beasley plays ran, and I don't want to see consistent Vando settling for the three-pointer in the corner, and I don't want to see AD get the ball and isolate. Well, why is it being so easy to defend them again? We'll talk about that right after this break. All right, we are back. About to jump back in this topic of what can the Lakers do to make AD a feature in the offense and what has been lacking, you know, these last weeks. And before I get into that, make sure after you make, you know, Laker Radio 216 series, Chill Bravado Podcast, your first listen, you go check out my brother JR with the All Things Sports Podcast, where he breaks down MLB, NBA, NFL, and all other various sports. And just check him out, see what he has to say on the matter. He does power rankings. He does a lot of MVP things. He talks about, you know, load management and all those, you know, those things that I don't talk about. So I will talk about it once I get on the show with him. But until then, go check him out. He does a great job breaking it all down. He was telling me he has a great MLB breakdown coming out real quick, where it's going to be, I think you should do part one, part two. He wants to go through the whole MLB, and for you baseball fans, I know you're going to love that. Now, back to Lakers, okay, and Anthony Davis. Darvin Ham has drawn up a lot of plays that, to me, are trying to use AD as a decoy, or he's drawing up plays where AD is getting the ball and nobody moves. And it's like we're waiting to see what the defense is going to do. Or we have teams like Toronto who kind of, once again, I think I spoke on this, Toronto has always been the team that blitzes AD or sends a double. And of course, when you send a double team in the NBA, you know, you bring it from the other side of the court because you want to make them have to swing that ball around and you can recover. You're never going to bring it from the strong side where the passer, you know, you're never going to double from the passer, you know, from the passing lane of the closest guy. So Toronto does that, and it's fine because dudes are hitting and dudes start making shots. The Pelicans game, it's fine because dudes are hitting and da-da-da-da-da. But I'm like, we're not going to shoot like this forever. And thank God Austin Reeves had a career night or we would have lost to the Magics. I was not shocked that we lost to the Houston Rockets. And people were like, oh, that's a gimme game. I'm like, listen, that's a gimme game if you have LeBron James because you don't have Mo Bamba and you don't have a real big other than Anthony Davis. Okay? And they didn't look like they was too concerned or they just feel like they can switch, you know, turn the switch on. But nothing about the Lakers scares you if you're a young team like Houston. Because the game with Houston and the Mavs game, we should have won. I mean, I was frustrated way before the game would have went in because the game was already unfolding. I'm like, but we're about to lose this game. And then I thought about it. I said, man, this is looking so much. And then it happened. Indiana Pacers game. Same shot, you know, same scramble drill. And it's just unfortunate. AD had like three terrible possessions in a row. Like bad, bad, bad. Like, oh, you foul a 3-point shooter when you're up 4. You miss one of the free throws. Now you get caught napping in the paint, which I think him and Vando should have communicated more. There's no reason both of you guys should be down there. I feel like AD could have made that rotation faster. But it was inevitable. Give Kyrie credit. Because for him to do what he did and dribble around and then at the last moment when he act like he was about to shoot it, the defense reacted to him. And that is a tough pass to make. He makes that pass across the court to Maxi Kleber, who had not shot the ball well at all. But it's just those moments happen, man. And unfortunately, the Lakers were on the wrong side of it. And I mean, I think that night I seen a couple games. Like even Dylan Brooks that night, like hit a couple threes and was jumping and bouncing around. And now he's suspended. You know, whatever. You know, Kyrie didn't want to switch jerseys with him. But it's just amazing to me how we look at it from our fan base and we think the world is, you know, falling and the sky is falling. But other teams are struggling too. But, you know, I get it. We're centering on what we got going on, as we should. But it's my job to bring you out. Take you out of that view and let you look at it from a different perspective. Yeah. So when AD gets doubled or they bring help to AD side, nobody's moving enough. Nothing. We have not shown adjustments to that as far as how can we get AD in positions where he can make quicker decisions or we can get him in position where he's more successful. And I think that right now, without LeBron James, whose return is looming, I don't know, he's going to be reevaluated this week. Who knows what that means? Reevaluated does not mean he's returning. So just take all this with a grain of salt. Hopefully, LeBron has gone over to Germany and got the Kobe whatever treatment, and he'll be back and he'll be ready to go. But I said Vando slots great with AD and LeBron. AD and LBJ. Vando, not so much when it's just him and AD. Which they are still okay, but it doesn't maximize the versatility that I was speaking of. So I was already in that Houston game looking like, man, this is not a good, because if this turns into a pickup game at LA Fitness or your local recreational center, Houston's gonna have a chance to win this game. Cause this game wasn't great coaching. It wasn't being out coached. You got out athleted. They got to the rim. They scored in the paint. They got out and ran. They were young. They got confidence. And that was the difference. Like, I don't want to hear about, oh, AD has to dominate this and that, when you can't stop them anyway. They were in the paint, just living there. So, and then you go to a zone and you allow them to dribble past you. Even in the Orlando game, you go to a zone and you let them widen it, just get past you. And luckily, Orlando just didn't understand AR-15. Can draw fouls like the best. It's amazing that we frown upon the guys who draw the fouls like that until they're on your team and you're just like, oh my God, Austin's great. Give him all the money, you know? And Calm down, people. If the rumor is true that he wants $50 million, and you're like, oh my God, and then like pay him whatever he wants. And some people say that's too much. 4 years, $50 million, you do the math, that's like $12.5 million a year. That's the average role player contract. I think that would be good for Austin if that was the case. I don't mind it. I mean, it is what it is. Like, I'm fine with it. I really don't really get caught up in too much of the contracts and the money. But of course, the night after he has a career day, they want to jump right into it. And after this break, I'm going to jump right into why I feel like Vando needs LeBron back in the best and worst way. And D'Lo needs it as well, because it's going to give us back our versatility when LeBron comes back. And we're going to talk about how this team's being affected by that down the stretch next. All right, we're back, and the realistic expectations that I had was the play-in, and I was like, unless if we were to make it to the six, which I don't think we are now, if we were at back when I was talking about it, if we made it to the six, that means everything was going right, LeBron never got hurt, we're clicking, and then that's when we become the scariest team to play in the playoffs. Now, if we make it to the seventh and eighth, I still feel like we played well enough. You know, we won the games we wanted to win. I'm thinking AD probably did not play back-to-backs. I think he's going to play the next back-to-back. We try to get greedy, and you know, and that's how you lose to Houston, and that's how that goes. But I'm just thinking to myself that's the bare minimum. That's realistic. 9-10 means, okay, it's kind of like what we're looking like right now. You're dragging a little bit. You're trying to get a rhythm. You don't have LeBron, and you're just like, oh, we just got to get in. And the worst case scenario is we just fall flat on our face and we end up out of the play-in altogether. And then that's what's going to suck, because now we have to start talking about the offseason early. We want to push this off and go into the play-in and then get into the playoffs. So we do not have to talk about the offseason in any type of form yet. Like, it's too early. We have 10 games left. We play the Suns tonight, and then we have 9 more after that. But including tonight, we have 10 games left. Okay? So we have to do something right now. And hopefully LeBron can come back next week if everything goes well. Who knows? But we just have to figure out a way to generate some wins, okay? And when I look at this team, and I look at Vando, and I look at AD, and I look at Wingin, who's been playing with AD more now, it's actually been pretty good for them. Wingin, who's a different type of aggression. Vando's playing aggressive still, but on the offensive end, it's like it's hard to watch. Wayne playing very aggressive, but at least on the offensive end, he still has the savvy to go in there and bang it offensive boards. Vando tries to do as much as he can, but people don't realize Vando's like 6'8", but he's like 215, I'll say, 210. So when he's playing against bigger wings, or bigger forwards and centers, that's not what you really want to see, because I don't want him trying to defend a Valanciunas or Zubac and all these guys and Hartenstein. It's just not a good look. And even my man from Houston, what's the center's name? You know, the one Senga, whatever his name is, the crafty young fellow. You know, I don't like seeing him try to defend him, because he can cook them as well. But with Wingin and AD, I've liked seeing that combination defensively. Offensively, is still a struggle, but It has its moments, because you know he's going to work hard. Vando, still fine. But LeBron, AD, and Vando, to me, that was what the starting lineup needed to keep. You know, that's the starting lineup that you need. And then Beasley and D'Lo, you know. So, but without LeBron, now you're sliding in Troy Brown in the starting lineup. And now it's like you have a defender in Troy Brown. But you lose your versatility at the size, you know, with the LeBron, the size, and Vando with his size, and being able to do some things. Excuse me. And being able to do some things out there on the perimeter as well. So AD, LeBron, Vando, Beasley, who's really a fringe starter right now, because fans are really falling out of, you know, it's amazing when he had that big blow up against the Warriors or whoever it was. Oh, Malik Beasley, yeah, you know. And now that he's a shooter, like, goes through slumps, that's just what happens. D'Lo, I think, needs LeBron back in the worst way as well, because he's going to get to play off the ball some too and be able to just get easy catching, you know, set up plays or run the pick and roll with him. We have the threat that's going to, you know, you're not going to leave AD. You got to find LeBron. LeBron's cutting. Oh, no. Now Malik Beasley's going to get even easier shots because now he's playing off of two big stars and you have D'Lo and you have the energy bunny and Vando. And then this puts everybody back in place. But lately, we've had another three-guard lineup. D'Lo, Austin, and Dennis. And I love Dennis, man, because Dennis gets a lot of slack. He has some quarters where he plays terrible. But then he just has these moments where he makes these plays, man, and it's down the stretch in his second half, and he's a hooper, man, like a baller. And no matter the flaws of him being small or just not having the smoothest jump shot or not being able to get to his spots all the time or forcing something, you know. But then he comes up with these steals and he gets fouls and gets us in the bonus. And him and Austin Reeves are very, very crafty at getting to the free throw line and really helping us, like, slow the game down or get back into the play so we can attack the rim. D'Lo, who's kind of came back to earth a little bit, but I feel like that's just, you know, it was just bound to happen. He's not the superstar type of talent, but he's definitely a great, you know, upper echelon role player and at his best, an all-star. So if you get him back in the mix with LeBron and AD and we get back to rolling again, it's because LeBron comes back locked and loaded, and now D'Lo is able to do what he does and gets to put the vein, you know, whatever. He still shoots okay, but, you know, it's just right now you're leaving a lot on the bone because you don't have LeBron out there. So we're dealing with a lot of appetizers right now. The entree's not out there. And, you know, I'm fine with Troy and Rui and all those guys. You know, I hate Bamba didn't go down, and I hate we didn't pick up a big man because, you know, no big Mo problems to me. Like, no big Mo problems, Mo Bamba. We don't have another big to go with Anthony Davis. Not sure if we're going to get even sign one. It doesn't make sense to bring in a Tristan Thompson or Tony Bradley. Doesn't really make sense to bring in DeMarcus Cousins either. I don't really know what big solves your problem, but just, I mean, if you bring in anybody with size, I guess the Laker Nation would be fine with it because right now they're crying for one, especially when we just have moments where it's just like, Wing is the five, and it's like, Wing's not a five. So I'm going to come back after this. We're going to talk about the next couple games. I didn't want to talk about the X's and O's or break down the games like that because y'all seen the games. Y'all know what's happened. Y'all know we haven't looked great. So why talk about that? I'd rather talk about how Darvin needs to, you know, figure out a way to feature AD a little better and a little easier, and adjustments need to come. But I will say this before I go to the next segment. Just because the adjustments don't work and we still lose or play bad, doesn't mean there was no adjustments. So Darvin Ham has made adjustments, and some of them just haven't worked, some of them have. You know, that's just where it is in a game when you're coaching. Like, he's a first-year coach. People are talking about firing him and getting somebody else. You don't sign a guy for 4 years, and in his first year, you say, oh, he's not that guy, and let him go when you're coaching the Lakers. You know, it's not how this works, because now you want to get another coach, another coaching staff to go with, you know, and now you're looking at, okay, LeBron and AD, what are they going to think? What are they going to want? You know, it's just a mess. If you get into that rabbit hole, let's stay out of that. Let's just let this play out and see what we end up at play-in playoffs. But after this, let's talk about the next couple matchups that we have and what I think our record should be, could be, can be. All right, next five games. As of right now, the Suns, we play them tonight. No Ayton, no KD, of course. So we got to deal with old front-running Booker and, you know, annoying little man CP3. No Mikal Bridges, none of that. So we don't have to worry about him. OKC, who's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's back. And, oh, he made me so mad that he led his team to beat the Clippers last night. Clippers, what are you doing, man? All we actually do is beat the teams we need to. Ugh. But Shai, man, he bops and gets in the paint whenever he wants to, man. It's ridiculous. I was just watching him. Russ played good defense on me. He still got he drew the foul. I was like, come on. Then he got in and whoop-de-whoop and laid it up and left the hand up, and it was like he knew the game was over there. So we got OKC coming up again. That's going to be tough because he's back. Because we beat them without him. Then we got Bulls. And listen, Pat Bev's going to be there. He already said he's going to try his best to knock the Lakers out the playoffs. Well, he already did that because he played the first half of the season with us. So whether they win or lose, like you helped with that a long time ago. So, Pat Bev, you're helping on both ends now. You helped us lose. We on the team, and then now you're hoping you beat us now that you're off the team. I get it. So we got Bulls back-to-back. And then we go T-Wolves, who looks like they're about to get back Anthony Edwards, and about to get back Cat. So I'm like, man, like, you know how to say the basketball gods, man, because the teams we need to lose is not losing. Teams are getting healthy. We're not. Hopefully we hear good news about LeBron tomorrow or whatever day it is. But, man, it's like, it's tough right now. Really, we could really miss the playoffs. Like, that was always a slim chance we might miss it. But now that margin is like, it's like 50-50. Like, we're sitting in 11th. So we lose a night to the Suns, we're really going to be a team that's very much fan base is going to be up in an uproar. You hear me? Because now we got OKC coming up. And they're in the 7th spot. You know? Now, we would have taken business against Houston and the Mavs. We will be sitting pretty right now. So it's like you kind of look back and you're, yeah. So in these next 5 games, my highest of heights is that we go 4-1. Like we figured out how, if we go 4-1, that means AD has turned it on again and this team figured out a way to hit shots, you know, and we take advantage of some mismatches that we maybe can form, but we got to hit shots. That means Beasley, Brown, D'Lo, Dennis, Austin. Someone has to make shots. It can't just be AD dropping 30, okay? But it'd be great if we can get, you know, a dominant performance from AD, whatever that means. I'm still not sold on what a dominating performance from AD is. Does it have to be all offensively? Does it have to be him closing out in the fourth quarter? Does it have to be him making defensive stops? I just think we need an overall game of AD, and we need to cast around him right now to help, you know, propel him and this team to a win. I don't care about, like, I just want the win. I don't care if AD is the one dominating or not. Like, AR won the game pretty much, but Laker fan was so upset because of AD legacy was on the line. And Austin Reeves saved his legacy. I seen this. It's amazing to me that people say that. Like, you win a basketball game and you still, I mean, I can feel, I'm not like high, but I'm not low either. You know, but that's why I'm the chill bravado. Like, that's the whole point of what I do here. I'm not here to, you know, be in my feelings and catch feelings. It's not my game. It's not my job. It's not the way I watch sports. I give all my emotions from beginning to the end. Then after it's over, I cut off that emotion. I process it. And then I bring it here, you know, and we talk about it. And I definitely am disappointed, but it's not to the point where I'm like, God, let's trade everybody. AD, LeBron, man, just get pieces and go from there and do what? You know, like, and then, you know, we play against the T-Wolves. I'm sorry, I got a rant. Suns, OKC, Bulls once, Bulls twice, and a T-Wolves team and looking to get healthy, who really already served us our lunch one time before by playing very physical on Dennis and all the ball handlers. So let's see what happens, man. Like, I don't want to just skip over what Austin did, but I feel like we got to move past that. Like, it's over. Like, that's dead and gone now. It's time to move on to the next one. So tonight with the Suns, we have to hope Booker's going to miss some shots, because we already know this drop coverage garbage that most teams play. I feel like we could be a team that switches everything, but I don't know. I don't know why we don't do that some, but instead we go into a zone, and that zone, we allow guys to penetrate and get inside and lay it up and kick it out. And yeah, it works against certain teams, but it doesn't work long enough. Like, guys are too athletic, too good, too fast for you to think you're going to play zone if you can't keep them in front of you. Like, if they're getting in the paint, man, you might as well just go back and let's just do something else. But Darvin, it's okay, man. Like, you still have 10 games. We have 10 games left. Darvin, get us in the playoffs, baby. That's all we can ask. Get us in the play-in. Get us in the playoffs. LeBron, we hope you come back soon. AD, I guess you have to dominate so fans can love you. then hate you, then love you again. Because every couple of weeks, we look at these guys and we just, you know, it's a question of what's wrong with AD. Like, nobody's questioned Tatum, and these guys lost to Houston too, you know? And nobody cares, but their record's better. So I understand why. Your fan base is like, oh, that was a blip. Lakers don't have that margin for error. With no LeBron, you don't have a big margin for error. Now, you know, once we get LeBron back, let's see what he looks like. If he looks like a shell of himself, I'm just like, then that's when it's really going to be bad. Like, right now, no LeBron, so AD's getting all the, you know, the hate. So that means he deactivates his Instagram and stuff because, you know, like right now, the LeBron haters are just itching for LeBron to come back because they can't talk about it. Nobody has nothing to talk about. But that's going to do it, guys. I appreciate you tuning in. We're going to come back and, you know, next time we'll break down some games. Like, I didn't feel a need to break down Houston. You know what happened at the end of the Mavs game. You seen how we looked against Orlando. It's nothing really to hang your hat on, but don't worry. Be happy. I'm your guy, Chill B. Chill Bravado Podcast. Until next time.